Good morning. Today's Daf Amud Metzias Mem Ches, where Mem Zayin Amud Beis. We're beginning towards the top of the Amud. We're starting with Asimon. It's two dots. So Asimon Kones Amud Beis. So your Asimon can go ahead and purchase Amud Beis. Again, this is the fourth parak about Metzia, and so the basic idea behind this parak is that we have to define what is the currency, what is the commodity. So you see, what the commodity is, what you're looking to buy. The currency is the means in which you're looking to buy with it. The currency is legal tender. And the trick of this parak is just simply trying to define what's the currency and what's the commodity. So most of the time, it's very clear what the currency and what the currency is and what the commodity is. And every now and then, it gets a little bit confusing. So here we are now in the fourth parak, trying to help everyone get less confused. Okay, and again, basic Shiba basics like ABCs, and that is, why is it important to know what's the currency and what's the commodity? Meaning we're going to exchange, so why is it so important? So the reason why it's so important is because how is the kinyan done? So oddly enough, the kinyan is not done by giving the currency. Meaning the currency is just simply means of payment. It's a form of payment. Right? It's as if like the tabs come down, and how do you want to pay? Credit card, PayPal, right? So in other words, it's just a way to pay. But that's not the kinyan. The kinyan is going to be done when I take the commodity. When I do mashiach on the commodity, then and only then the kinyan is done. And any point before that, so the kinyan is not done. And that means to say that even when I pay for the item, so the kinyan is not yet done. Ah, but I paid for the item. That's great, you paid for the item, mazel tov, but that's not the kinyan. The kinyan is when you take the commodity. Good. We're going to be talking about retraction. That's all we're going to be doing today. Today, good. I set it up beautifully. All we're going to do today is talk about retraction. But in the meantime, however, just the most basic point over here in this fourth parak is to know that we're looking to define what's kasef and what's mammon and what is the currency. And we need to know that because for everything I just said, right? See above. So now the Mishnah just gave an example of asimon matbea. So we're doing an exchange. I'm going to buy asimonim with a matbea. So what's the currency? What's the commodity? So over here, nice and simple. The matbea is a currency. The asimon is a commodity. That's beautiful. Okay, we're just left with one outstanding question over here. What's an asimon? Okay, good. Okay, see above regarding my description of asimonim in Eretz Yisrael when I was a kid. But anyway, we all know that. So my asimon amarav maus, and he tells b'siman lebeis amerchatz. Good. So what Rav explains is that it's a token. It's tokens, right? You want to get into the bathhouse, so what do you get? You get tokens. So what do you have to do? You have to buy the tokens. Good. Beautiful. So Meitzvei, the Gemara now is going to be challenging based on the mission. Meister Sheni, you probably noticed that over here in the beginning of this fourth parak of Bamitzia, we have been hammering Mishnayos in Meister Sheni, but for all the right reasons. Meaning Meister Sheni, what's happening by Meister Sheni? So we're being mechalal. We're taking the Meister Sheni and we're being mechalal it. And you can only be mechalal on money. So in other words, if you want to see what is a beautiful illustration, an example of what money is, just open up Meister Sheni. And whatever the Mishnayos over there describe you're doing chila on, it has to be done on money. So that's why we keep hammering all these Mishnayos. So here we go. Here's another Mishnah. First perek of Meister Sheni. Ein mechal Meister Sheni al asimon. V'la amasin tans besimon lebeis amerchatz. Okay, so the Mishnah Meister Sheni says that you cannot be mechal on tokens. Now the problem with the Mishnah is that it says asimon, and it also says simon lebeis amerchatz. Now, that's problematic, because we just said that what is the definition of asimon? Oh, that is simon lebeis amerchatz. That's a token. But the Mishnah over there records it as if they're two different things. That's the Gemara's point. Mechlal de asimon lav maos anitanus besimon lebeis amerchatz. V'chitim apurushikam efarish. The Gemara says, okay, but maybe the Mishnah is just helping us out. Maybe the Mishnah is just giving us a definition. V'halotani hachi. The Gemara says, yeah, but consider now, I'm going to be quoting the Braisa, and you're not going to be able to read the Braisa this way. Mechalan Meister Shein Ala Simon Divrei Bidos, V'chachamim Omim Ein Mechalan. V'sham V'shein Mechalan Amasin Itans B'simon LeBeis Amerchatz. Okay, clearly in this Braisa, Asimon and Simon LeBeis Amerchatz are not one and the same thing. Simon LeBeis Amerchatz are tokens to get into the bathhouse. And that is agreed upon. That could be servicing as chilo, but in terms of an asimon, we have a machlokas. Whatever the asimon is, it's clearly not simon lebeis amerchatz. It's clearly not the tokens to get into the bathhouse. So Ella Am Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says, okay, so second try. Okay, so in other words, we're trying to define Asimon. We thought it was Simon Lebeis Amerech. It's a token to get into the bathhouse. The Gemara says it's not. It's not. So if it's not, so what is it? So Rav Yochanan says, Ma Asimon Pulsa. Ah. So it is what I guess what you would call today's day and age, a slug. Okay, I'm not talking about the animal. I'm just simply talking about, you know, those coins that are not minted. Right, and people who are not scrupulous, so what they would do is they would take slugs and they would put in the machine. Right, back in the good old days, you know, when you put money in the machine. Remember those good old days? Okay, good, good. So in other words, so it's non-minted coins. So the Azar Rav Yochanan Tamei, the Amar Rav Yochanan, Rabbi Yosef Rav Yishmael Amar Davar Echad. And the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan here is consistent. And in what way? He says that Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Dosa say the same thing. Rabbi Dosa and Hadamaran. Rabbi Dosan said that what you could do is that you could be mechalel your Meister Sheni on an Asimon. Again, Asimon is the slug. Rabbi Shmuel Mayhi Detanya Vitzarta Kesel Biadecha Lerabos Kol Davar Hanitz Rabbi Yad. So, in other words, anything that's it's inclusive. It's coming to include something which is held in your hand. Div Rabbi Shmuel Shitas Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Kiv Armer Lerabos Kol Davar Sheishal Avtzura. And Rabbi Kiva says, no, it's something that has to have a minting on it. It has to be minted. So over here in this machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, clearly Rabbi Shmuel is open to the idea that a coin could be called a coin, even though it's not minted. Okay. Meaning a slug. Meaning an asimon. Okay, good. So what we have over here is that this idea that Rabbi Yochanan, the definition of asimon is a slug, and that's consistent with the idea that Rabbi Yochanan says that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Dosa said the same thing. Okay, beautiful. We are now on Menzayin Amid Beis. We are halfway down in the Amid. We're at the two dots, and here we begin. We begin one of the most classic sugyas over here in the fourth parak of Bam Metzia. Okay, this is a highlight. And that is, Ketzav Mashach Eman HaParos Alon Asal Amaos Eino Yachol Achzer Bo. Okay, so, if you do a Mashiach on the commodity, and but the money has not yet been paid, so Eino Yachol Achzer Bo, you cannot be Chozer. Why? Because the Kenyan has been done. However, if the money is given, but the commodity has not been taken, so the Kenyan is not yet done, and at this point in time, we can have retraction. Now, I say we can have retraction, by the way, knowing full well that the Mishnah tells us, but don't do it. Okay, we'll get to the don't do it later this morning. But right now, if all we did is just simply give the money, but not take the commodity, so the Kenyan has not yet been done. And what we're going to be discussing now for here, basically till the end of today, almost basically, right? Mem Zayin Mem Ches, a dedication to, well, what exactly is happening when I pay for an item? Meaning, what is it? How does the Torah view it? What do the Chachamim do? Meaning, what is happening? What's going on? So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Dvar Torah Maos Konos. Oh, so Rabbi Yochanan says as follows: Min HaTorah, what is going on is that money acquires. Meaning, giving money is effectively a method of kinyan. Min HaTorah. Oh, so interesting. So when I pay for the item, I acquire the item. What about the first Mishnah of the fourth parak of Bava Metzia? What about our Mishnah? Mipnei ma'amru mishicha kona, gzera shami yamar lo nisrafa chitecha ba'aliyah. So this is now rabbinic legislation interfering with the Dvar Torah. The Dvar Torah is that really the money acquires? And the Chachamim ran interference. And they said, no, we're going to block the Kenyan. Now, why would they do that? So I just read it. Now I get to explain it. And that is that they did it in service of the buyer. Buyer protection. Okay? I find myself, especially in the Babas, Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, I've been saying this a lot, but for good reason. The Chachamim legislated to protect the buyer. In other words, there are numerous regulations that were done by Chazal, so that the buyer will be further protected in a purchase. And one of the buyer protection programs of the Chachamim is that even though they paid for the item is not theirs until they actually do Mashiach on the item. Why? So, Nisrafu Chitecha Ba'aliyah. I read this yesterday, in yesterday's daf, two times over, and I said, please wait. Okay, so, in other words, and thank you for waiting, because you had to wait 24 hours. I didn't get to this yesterday. I should have, but I didn't. And now that we're here, so now we get to explain it. And that is the following. Okay, so let's go over a simple transaction. I'm buying wheat. So I go over to my farmer and I say, I'd like to buy wheat. Great. So I'm not ready to pick it up yet, but I'm ready to pay for it. Good. I'll pay for it. Good. So I paid for the wheat. Where is the wheat now currently situated? In the farmer's silo. Fire breaks out. Now fire breaks out in the silo, and now, as far as the farmer's concerned, he's going to be less motivated. Meaning, if it were my wheat, so now I'm being very interested in putting out the fire. But it's not my wheat. In other words, somebody bought it already. Okay, you know what? Obviously, we'll get to that point in just a moment. Obviously, there's a mitzvah of the Torah to be a good person. Obviously, I should put it out. I should be sensitive to other people's money. I know that, but human nature is just simply going to kick in, and the farmer is going to be less than motivated to go ahead and put it out. So the Chachamim recognized that, and the Chachamim said, I'll tell you what, it's yours. It's yours. It's yours until Mashiach is done. Oh, it's mine? Okay. Now I'm going to be somewhat more motivated, a lot more motivated to go ahead and put it out. So that is what the Chachamim's thought process is in terms of blocking Kenyan until Mashiach is done. Ben's question coming up right now. So, Mandashad the Deleka by Shlomei. So the Gemara says, wait one second. In other words, if a fire broke out and the fire was started by the farmer, so that's what's called now liability. That's Baba Kama. We spent a lot of time talking about Baba Kama. One of the Dalet Avos Nezikin is Eish. So in other words, you start a fire and you burn somebody's chitecha, you burn somebody's wheat, it's not your wheat. Who cares it's not your wheat? You're liable. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, okay. You didn't start the fire. The fire started be'ones. Oh, be'ones. So in other words, it wasn't you. In other words, it was circumstances that were beyond your control. So fine, so you're not going to be chayv in a case of ones. Okay. So now you're not going to be chayv in a case of ones. So we took liability out of the equation. And now it's just a question of who's going to be suffering the financial loss. So if it's the buyer who's suffering the financial loss, so the farmer, the seller is not going to be that motivated. Once we tell the seller, hey, that's your financial loss. It's my financial loss. Okay, now what we just did, pun intended, by the way, is that we just lit a fire right under the seller, and now he's going to be motivated to put out the fire.
Why isn't the seller considered a shomer?
The seller is considered a shomer, but the shomer's liability is not going to include ones.
Not the shomer sachar.
Even a shomer sachar is going to be patur from ones. Right? Yeah, shovel. Shaul is the only one who's going to be chayv in onus. Okay. So Reish Lakish Amar Mashiach Mefreshes Metar. So before we get to Reish Lakish, let's quickly process for just one more moment. So that means to say now that according to Rav Yochanan, so really money is kinyan. Maos Konos, according to Rav Yochanan. What's happening over here, what we're seeing over here is that even though I paid for it, I'm not yet kone it, and that's in service of me, the buyer. Rabbinic legislation stepped in and stopped the kinyan from occurring in service of the lokeach. Okay, that's Shitas Rav Yochanan. Now what we're going to do on the other side of that was we're going to put in Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish Amar Mashiach Mefreshes Min HaTorah. So my time at the Reish Lakish Amakra V'chisim Keru Memkar Lamitecha Kano Miyad Amitecha. So Davar Nikna Miyad Liyad. So Reish Lakish will tell you that Mashicha is Mefurish Min HaTorah. That in other words, it is not rabbinic legislation. This is now how the Torah views it. The Torah views that the only way that a lokech is going to acquire an item is only through Mashicha, nothing else. Meaning, I know I pay for it, but paying for it is simply insufficient Min HaTorah. And that means to say that according to Reish Lakish, so when you pay for an item, you haven't acquired it. And meaning, of course, now your commitment to buying the item has been made stronger. That for sure is true, but you haven't acquired it. And he darshins it. Now the pasuk that we just quoted is in Parshas Bahar, and over here, kano miyad amitecha, meaning the kinyan is miyad. In other words, only when I take it. Now for Rav Yochanan miyad. Now as far as Rav Yochanan is concerned, he has to acknowledge a pasuk in the Torah. Not only acknowledge the pasuk in the Torah, what does Rav Yochanan do with the pasuk in the Torah? The Gemara explains. So lema'ute karka. So it comes to exclude karka deleis be'ona. Contextually, that pasuk is talking about the issur of onah. You cannot undercharge or overcharge for an item. And what Rav Yochanan is telling you is that, no, the pasuk is there just to simply tell me what is included and what is excluded from Ona'a. That's the only thing the Pasuk is coming to tell me. Movable items are included in Ona'a. Karka is excluded from Ona'a. Now, when we talk about the exclusion of Karka from Ona'a, we will talk about it more in detail later on. Just a sneak preview, and that is that there are three shitas amongst the Rishonim exactly what the exclusion is of Ona'a, of Karka from Ona'a. And I'll just give you the most extreme version, and that's the Rambam. Right? It's the most extreme, and it's the easiest to say over. Right? You've heard me say this before, by the way. The extreme positions are the easiest to say, because they're just they're fundamental. The Rambam says is that Karka is totally excluded from Ona'a. What can I charge for Karka? Whatever I'd like. Whatever he's willing to pay, that's what I could charge for Karka, even though it is well above fair market value. Okay, well, again, we'll discuss that later in this perek. Okay, so, and Reish Lakish. Now, what Reish Lakish will tell you is as follows. I know the Pasuk's talking about Ona'a, but the Pasuk's also talking about how to be Kona. Imkein lichtov krav v'chitzim kuro memkar miyad amitech al tono. O kana lamali. Reish Lakish will tell you that the words O kana are superfluous. And what is that coming to tell me? Teaching me two halachas. Number one, that metaltlin are subject to Ona, not Karka. And number two, how to be Kona. You're only Kona using Mashicha. Shema minala Mashicha. V'Rav Yochanan, and back, we're ping-ponging back now into Rav Yochanan. So O kana my avile, what does he do with the word, what seems to be the extra words O kana? So mi baile lichetatanya v'chisim kuru memkar al tonu. Ein li ela shenis ane lokeach. Nis ane mocher minayin. So tamalamra kano al tonu. So what Rav Yochanan does with the extra words is tells me that the Isra of Ona'a is there to protect both the seller and the buyer. Let me do that better, by the way. The buyer and the seller. Meaning from the buyer's standpoint, what does he not want to do? He doesn't want to overpay. What does the seller not want to do? He doesn't want to undercharge. Ona'a is there to protect both parties of transaction, both buyer and seller. Reish Lakish, Tarti Gamar Mina, Amine. And what Reish Lakish will tell you is that both points can be deduced from the words Okano, meaning Okano is a protection of Ona'a both on buyer and seller. And so therefore that allows Reish Lakish now to the open space to now tell me that Miyad is teaching me a halacha in terms of how to be Kona. Okay, so what we did, classic, is that we looked at the Pesukim and we ping-pong back and forth. What's Rav Yochanan going to do with the Pesukim and what's Reish Lakish going to do with the Pesukim? Where are we right now? A fundamental machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish in terms of whether or not Ma'os Konos. According to Rav Yochanan, Ma'os or Kona. Min HaTorah. Money goes ahead and is a means of acquisition. When I pay for an item, I acquired the item. Min haTorah. What about when I buy? Does that mean now that I own it? Chachamim stepped in and blocked ownership until you do Mashicha, buyer protection. And Reish Lakish will tell you, no. Min haTorah, money is not going to acquire. There's no need for rabbinic legislation because money doesn't acquire by itself. The Torah says the only way to acquire Metaltalin is only Mashicha. Okay, beautiful. We're still in Mem Zayin Amud Beis. We're moving our way towards today's daf. Okay. Tanan. It is our Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, kol hakesef biyado yado al yona. Okay, so Rabbi Shimon makes the following statement, a declaration in our Mishnah. At the tail end of our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon said, anyone who's holding the money, yado al yona, he's in the driver's seat. He's in prime position. Okay, now, Rabbi Shimon is describing the seller. And what Rabbi Shimon is telling us is the following. In other words, seller selling, and he still has the item, he still has the merchandise, and he's also got the money. In other words, he got paid. So he is now in prime position. Now, mocher hu dematzi hadarbe, lokeach lo matzi hadarbe. Which means now that at that point in time, if the mocher wants to rethink, he may. If the buyer wants to reconsider, if he wants to retract, he cannot. Now, the Gemara formulates over here. So now, if you're telling me that money is kona, so then I understand that the seller could be chozer. The lokeach can't be chozer. Ela I amart mos ein konos. But if you're going to be taking the Reish Lakish viewpoint, that money does not acquire. So lokech nami lehadarbe. So who can retract now? Both parties can retract. In other words, the only thing that we did is we paid. And according to Reish Lakish, payment min hatara is nothing. It doesn't create an acquisition. It's not kona. So now there's no kinyan that's done. So at this point in time, I know we've had a lot of verbal agreement. I even know I gave you the money. But at this point in time, we haven't made a kinyan. So basically, both parties can retract, right? And how in the world then do you understand the opinion of Rabbi Shimon? So the Gemara says, Amalecha Reish Lakish, Aliba de Rabbi Shimon lo kamina, ki kamina, Aliba de Rabbanan. So Reish Lakish will tell you, I have no way of explaining Rabbi Shimon. In fact, I'm not here to explain Rabbi Shimon. Meaning, I'm with you. According to Rabbi Shimon, Maos Kaunos, perfect. I'm going to concede that point. I'm here to explain the Tanakhama. According to the Tanakhama, Maos Ein Kaunos. Beautiful. And Rabbi Shimon will tell you that Maos are Kaunos. Okay, perfect. So the Gemara says, Bishlam al Reish Lakish Hainadika Bein Rabbi Shimon Rabbanan. In fact, now it works out beautifully. Meaning, if I ask Reish Lakish, we have a machlokas in our Mishnah between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. Reish Lakish will tell you, that's perfect. Meaning, I will tell you that what's going on over here is that in the Mishnah itself, between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon, a very basic machlokas in terms of whether or not Maos Konos or Maos Ein Konos. Perfect. El Rabbi Yochanan, my Ika bein Rabbi Shimon LeRabbanan. But now the question is really going to fall back on Rabbi Yochanan. Because according to Rabbi Yochanan, Maos Ein Konos, Mina Torah. And that would be true both according to the Chachamim and according to Rabbi Shimon. And now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, how are you going to explain now the distinction between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon and our Mishnah? So, Ika b'nei de Rav Chista. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan says, no problem, I got this. I will explain the Machlokas in the Mishnah, and it's really riding on the following. They're arguing about Rav Chista's position. Now, of course, Rav Chista's an Amora, coming well after the Tanayim. But in other words, the thought of Rav Chista, the idea of Rav Chista, that is subject to a dispute between Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon. What is Rav Chista's thought? Da'am Rav Chista k'derach shetiknu mashicha b'mochen, kach teknu mashicha b'lekuchos. So now what Rav Chista tells you is that, look, this rabbinic legislation, right? So the way I described it earlier this morning is it's buyer protection. Good. Rav Chista will tell you, I'm half right. It's buyer protection and it's seller protection as well. Rav Chista there is telling you that it's there to service and serve both parties of the transaction. Why is it serving both parties of the transaction? Look at Rashi. Kach tiknu chacham mishikha lokech. Lachzer bo bishvil oso takana atzma denisrufu chitecha. De kol shekein. Ki mukmes lechazara nami birshus lokech. Masanav shi amochir v'tarach umatzol shi im yira lokech daleka. Because again, let's go back now to that fire, right? In other words, what just happened is that I paid for the item, and even though, according to Rav Yochanan, Maos or Konos, but again, the Chachamim said, no, we're blocking the Kinyan, because we're worried about that fire breaking out. Now, when that fire breaks out, so who's now going to be interested in putting out the fire? So, as I explained earlier this morning, certainly the farmer is going to be interested in putting out the fire. In other words, right, my pun earlier this morning is that a fire will be lit under the cellar to go ahead and put out the fire, right? Because what he wants to do it now is that he doesn't want to lose out. But in other words, Rav Chista said, but let's say the buyer goes ahead and sees that fire. So now what Rav Chista will tell you is that the legislation over there is going to motivate the buyer also from putting out the fire as well. In other words, the buyer now already paid for the item, and now that he, and once we say to him, you know, you're not going to be able to retract, so now whether the buyer himself also is going to be interested in putting out the fire. So Rav Chista says that this legislation is both in service of buyer and seller. That is what Rav Chista will tell you. And now on that, so now Rav Yochanan will tell you, well, that's actually a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. Meaning this idea that we just proposed is the position of the Tanakhama, and Rabbi Shimon will tell you, no, Rav Shimon Leifa, Rav Chista. Rav Shimon will tell you no. I don't subscribe to Rav Chista. I will tell you that the only one that this legislation is in service of is only the buyer, not the seller. So Rabbi Shimon, Leifa de Rav Chista, Rabban Islu de Rav Chista. Okay, good. All right, so. Good. We have now a fundamental machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon, whether or not Maos Konos, according to Rav Yochanan and Maos Konos, and as far as the Mishnah is concerned, rabbinic legislation, buyer protection, according to Reish Lakish, no, we don't need rabbinic legislation. Maos are not Konim in a Torah. Very basic, fundamental machlokes that we see time and again throughout Chas. But today's daf, these are the primary sources where we're going to find it. Tanan. Okay. Aval Amar Misha Paramidora Mabulahu Asili Paramimishainu Omeid Bidiburo. Okay, now, Phil, we get to the point that you raised earlier. And that is Chazara. What about retracting? So now, when I pay for an item, but I didn't take the item, so now what? So now what is that the sale is not yet finalized because all I did was pay for it. However, said the Mishnah, even though it's not finalized, but you did commit, and you know what? You're gonna walk away from a commitment. So at that point in time, now you're subject to a klala. Okay. Now, Iyamar Bishlam Amos Konos Mishum Hachi Kai Ba'aval. Now, let's take the position of Rav Yochanan that really your money acquired. It just happens to be rabbinic legislation that stopped the acquisition from occurring. But Min HaTorah, you acquired it. I now understand that retracting from it is serious business. Okay. However, Ela Iyamar Maos Enon Konos Amai Kai Ba'aval. So the Gemara says, yeah, but according to Reish Lakish, giving money is not affecting anything min ha-Torah. And now you're going to get cursed? So the Gemara says, Mishum Dvarim. The Gemara says, yeah, you're going to get cursed. Because you made a verbal commitment. So the Gemara says, V'dvarim ikai ba'aval v'atanya. So the Gemara says, okay, I know you made a verbal commitment. And I know that's serious. But backing away from a verbal commitment is going to elicit an actual klala that seems to be too harsh a penalty for an infraction, admittedly an infraction, but way too harsh a penalty. And the Gemara says, consider the following braisa. As now we turn to Mem Chesem and Aleph. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Afa Bishamru Talis Kona Dino Zavin, Dino Zav Kona Talis. So Rabbi Shimon says, look, you're going to give a coin for a talis. Okay, coin is currency, talis is commodity. That's easy. And even though you paid for it, the kinyan hasn't been done yet. Again, as we've said since the beginning of this parak, mi kamakom kachalacha. Now, all this is true. However, avalamru misha par meanshi dora mabo meanshi dora flaga o meanshi sedom ve'amor mimitzrayim bayam who asili par mimishen o me b'diburo hanose v'nose b'dvarim lokana chozebo in ruchachamim nochehemenu. Okay, so if I paid for an item, didn't take from the item, and after paying for the item, now the parties are retracting klala time. If, let's say, there's only a verbal commitment, there's no klala, the chachamim aren't happy with you. Ein ruach chachamim noche heimenu. The chachamim are not happy with you. But it's not a klala. So over here in this braisa, we're looking at basically three steps. Right? The highest step is that you acquired the item. Okay. Which obviously means we're beyond retraction. Step number two of the braisa is, right, you didn't acquire the item, but you paid for it. And that's not acquisition. Retracting at that point in time, klala time. And then verbal commitment to buy the item, and now you retract. No klala. In other words, you're not operating within the spirit of the chachamim. But it's not a klala. V'amarava, and just to make this point super clear, the Gemara spells this out. V'amarava. Anu ein lanu ela in ruchachamim nochehimenu. Right? In other words, if you just made a verbal commitment, you're just simply not operating within the spirit of the chachamim. Okay, so the Gemara says as follows. Your points are all well. Huh?
The seller too, the same idea.
Yeah, correct.
You cannot sell it again.
Correct. So devarim v'ika behadayim ma'os kai ba'aval. Devarim v'leka behadayim ma'os lo kai ba'aval. So the Gemara says, okay, point well taken. And I'm just gonna work within your point. Meaning, if we say that if you made a verbal commitment and you paid, and now you want to retract, so now it's klala time. And that's what our mission was describing. Meaning our mission was describing where you made a verbal commitment. It's not just dvarim. It's dvarim and you paid, and now you want to retract. You can retract, But now, subject to a klala, if you do. Okay. That is how you're going to explain our Mishnah. Good. So we're still entrenched in a basic machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. We continue.
Where's the klala?
What is the klala? We just said, Misha Para, the one who is going to be taking retribution against Dor HaMabul, Dor HaFlaga, Anshei Sodom. So in other words, you know how they paid for it? You're going to pay for it as well. Yeah, it's a klala. Now, Amar Rav Akrama, since the Messiah LeReish Lakish. Okay, interesting point now that we're going to make in the Gemara, and that is that we're going to throw a lot of support behind Reish Lakish. Okay, now, generally speaking, we have a machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, so where do we side? Yeah, we all know. All right, we side with Rav Yochanan. And yet, the Gemara is going to be spending precious real estate in today's daf, almost the first part of today's Amud, and that is throwing a lot of support behind Reish Lakish. Meaning, aside from it's a machlokes, but there is a lot to consider in terms of the Shita of Reish Lakish. Let's start off with a pasuk. Kra masisa Messiah LeReish Lakish, so kra dechsev. So first, the pasuk that really is going to support Reish Lakish, again, according to Reish Lakish, Maus by itself is not kona. You need Mashiach. So over here, we turn once again to the end of Parshas Vayikra. Okay, in Baba Kama, we did a lot of this. And here in Baba Metzia, more. V'chichesh ba'am miso b'pika. Number two, Messiah Rabbi Gazol, Oshakas ha'miso. So what happens is that you deny a financial obligation. Now, regardless of what the financial obligation is, sumas yad, so that's a loan. So am Rav Chisda kagon sheyichel lo kli lahavaso. But Rav Chisda says it's not just a loan. You deny owing money to your lender. It's bad. But in other words, but to go ahead now and be chay of a karbon because of the denial. So when do you get to that threshold? When we're talking about there's an object in question. Object in question, what are you talking about? We'll get to that in just a moment. So, yeah, very good. Very good. So we're now going over what exactly hits the threshold of having to bring a carbon. It's a denial. It's also making a shvua to that denial. But as we'll see in just a moment, it's even more than that. And now your workers. So in other words, your workers are demanding money from you, and you say, I don't know what you're talking about. I paid you already. Go away. So over here, Rav Chisda makes the same point as well. Meaning, if it's just denial of payment, that in of itself is bad, but that's not going to trigger a carbon. The carbon requirement is when there's an object in question. So the Gemara says, now, before we get to the next part of the Gemara, object in question, what are we talking about object in question? It means as follows. Let's say that I lend money, and the borrower says, okay, just to secure the payment, what I'll do is I'll give you a piece of collateral. Good. And now he gives over a piece of collateral to the lender, and now the lender says to the borrower, here, do me a favor. Could you hold this for me? Hold this for me. Okay, and now when the lender says to the borrower, now give me the money, so the borrower says, I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, okay, fine. Well, give me that collateral that I did have, but now you're holding for me. And the borrower says, oh, that collateral? I don't know where that is as well. Only when there is an object. In other words, it's not just a denial of the money. But a denial of the money and the object in the way that I just illustrated. Admittedly, it's complicated. But in the way that I just illustrated, then and only then are we hitting the threshold of a carbon.
Okay. If you're going to lie.
Meaning,
if you're going to lie, why not just say you gave me back my collateral, loans paid? Why do you have to lie? I don't know where the object is.
Rav Chisda is understanding that, look, everything that you did was bad. Even before the collateral was handed and handed back. Even before all that. It's all bad. It's just a question of, for a carbon liability, the threshold has to be higher. That's all. And the same thing is true regarding the wages. In other words, what happened over here is that the employer said to the employee, here, I owe you the money. He says, here's an item I'm going to give you. Now, either the item can be that was given is just simply the payment itself. In other words, you pay money or you pay with an item, either way. Or it could have been collateral against the payment, whatever the case is. Okay, and now what the worker says, look, we're a little bit busy right now. We're going to give you this to hold, and then we'll come back later and we'll take it. Good. And again, it's the same thing. In other words, so it's not just a financial obligation, but it's a financial obligation that is also clearly represented by an item, where the workers now go back and say, hey, right, that item that you gave us for payment, can we have it now? Mm-hmm. And the employer says, what are you talking about? Oh, I know what you're talking about. Well, let's go to court. Fine. I swear I don't owe you the wages. And that item that you, I don't even know what you're, and you swore to that. So then and only then are you going to be chayav a karban. Okay. So the Gemara says, now that we set all that in place, ki ahadre kra. Now go read further in the psukim, and that is ksiv ayaki yechtev Hashem ayishiv esegzel asher gazal sa oshek asher ashak osli pekadon asher afkadito. And now, as part of what you need to do for reformation, you want to do tshuva? Step number one, give him the thing you owe him. That's step number one. And then, of course, there's chomesh, and then, of course, there's karban. Now, the careful reader of the pasuk will notice that of the three things that were returned, I'm sorry, of the four infractions, there's only three things that are returned. V'ilu tsumas yad lo ahadre. You know tsumas yad? That loan? How come that's not mentioned as part of the tshuva? That's a good question. So my time, alav mishum de mechas mashicha. I'll tell you why. Because the item was never actually handed over. The item was never handed over, and because the item was never handed over, so therefore there was not a kinyan. So that's why it's not repeated. So amalei rav papa l'rav ha'ema. So me oshek hu dehadakra. So the Gemara says, well, what about oshek? What about the wages? So by my skin could go shenat l'mimeno v'chaz aviv kido atzlo. So as far as the wages are concerned, go back to my description that I just did minutes earlier, where the employer gave an item to the employee for payment. Employee says, hey, do me a favor, hold this for me. That's the case of the wages. So there was mashicha. So the Gemara says, hayna pikadon. So the Gemara says, okay. But in other words, but of the four cases in the Torah, one of them is pikadon. So in the case of the wages, all you did is just construct another case which looks exactly like pikadon. It is pikadon. So the Gemara says, Tregav ni pikadon. Good point. In other words, okay, just another example of pikadon. You're right. So yachi tzumasiyad nami lehadre v'luk mekigoshen not lo'emen v'chazer v'yifkidot slow. So the Gemara says, look, in the case of the wages, we were really creative. Why can't you come up with the same creativity when it comes to a loan? In other words, the borrower handed the lender a collateral, and the lender said to the borrower, hey, do me a favor, could you watch this for me? Hold this for me. Okay. In other words, we did that with the wages. Why don't we do the same thing with the loan? So, ahadre kra lo tiyuftav lo siyata. Hashta de lo ahadre kra. So, misayele. So, the Gemara says, okay, you're right. In terms of coming up with cases, we could be creative. You're 100% correct. But, you can't deny the fact that the Torah goes over four infractions, and then for tshuva, the Torah only recounts three of the four. So why didn't the Torah go over that fourth? So the Gemara says the Torah didn't go over the fourth because the Torah wanted to highlight that there will be a scenario where there was no kinyan, i.e. when no Mashiach is done. The Gemara just pushes one more time on this point. So Am Rabbi Shimon Minayin Litenes Amar Lamal Lamata Dichsiv Omi Kol Asher Yishev Alav Lishaker. V'Am Rav Nachman Amar Rav Baravu Amar Rav LaRabba Tzumas Yad Lishavon. So the Gemara says, you know, Tzumas Yad also requires Yishavon. You have to return that as well. So Beheja Mialo Ahajikra. The Gemara says, I know. Of course you have to return. Of course you have to return the loan. It goes without saying. It just happens to be that our observation is still correct. Meaning four infractions in the Torah, and then for tshuva, the Torah only recounts three of the four. In other words, clearly the Torah was trying to give us a message. And what is that message? It's in service of Reish Lakish. Meaning that if there was no item that was handed over, so then there was no kinyan that was done.
I just don't know why this worked, because you either give him the loan or you give him the collateral. He's not getting both.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, fine. Good. But the Gemara is still pointing out what is correct. And that is, for examples, the Torah by Tshuva only illustrates three of the four. There's a reason why. You may come up with a different reason why, but there's a reason why. Okay. And the Gemara says is that the reason why is it's in service of Reish Lakish. That's one. Two. Excuse me. Masisa minala. Now, what about a Mishnah? So the Mishnah is actually a Braisa, but either way. And the Braisa has to do with Mi'ila. Ditanya nasa labalan ma'al. Okay, so you're going in, you're getting ready for the Shvitz. Great. And you need to pay him. Now you reach into your pocket and you take out a coin. It just happens to be that that coin belonged to Hekdesh. Okay, temporarily you forgot. And now what you did is you handed over the coin to the balan. You gave it to the bath attendant. And now at that point in time, the person who gave the coin violated Me'ila vi'amarav. Now here, an important additional note. Dafka balan hu delo mechasre mishicha. So, when it comes to the balan, so over there, no mishicha needs to be done. In other words, basically what you're doing is that you're paying for a service, and that's it. In other words, and the balan has no mishicha that he needs to do, so that's why payment and only payment will induce the Isser of Me'ila. What are we going to contrast that? Contrast it with the following. So over there, however, if it is a service that by definition requires Mashicha, so then the Me'ila will only be done with Mashicha. Okay, we're going to go over a concrete example, and when you see the concrete example, you'll understand the contrast. The Gemara says, okay, what about the barber? Okay, so you're now going to go for the haircut. And you're going to pay for the haircut. You give him the coin. Now, when you pay for it, so immediately you are mol behekdesh. Now, when it comes to the barber, so what does the barber need to do? So the first thing he needs to do is he needs to pick up a pair of scissors. Now, obviously, you're not buying the scissors, but you're buying the service of the scissors. So now, when is Kinyan going to be done? When he picks up the scissors. Now, it's confusing because the Braisa says, well, Me'ila's done when you hand him the money. So, Sapar habay lemimshach tasparas. The Gemara says, wait one second, he has to pick up the scissors. So the Gemara says, hachabay maizkin besapar nachri delab bar meshichahu. The Gemara says, yeah, that Braisa is talking about where the barber's a non-Jew. You see, when it comes to Kinyan by a non-Jew, so their payment is actually going to be a Kinyan, even according to Reish Lakish. Tanyan HaMehachin, the Gemara says, and I have a Braisa supporting this as well. Nasal Sapar L'Sapan Olechol Baleum Nosomal Adamashach. So Kashi Adadi Alalav Shmamina Kan B'Sapar Nachri Kan B'Sapar Yisrael Shmamina. Okay, good. So when your barber's Jewish and you gave him the coin, so when is Kinyan done? Only when he picks up the scissors. And then, in other words, the Mashicha has to be done. But when it comes to the balan, so the bath attendant, so at that point in time you're paying for a service, the bath attendant doesn't have to do anything. That's why the kinyan is done with the handing over of the money. Okay, so we have now just shown two times over, both with the pasuk and with the braisa and our interpretation of the braisa. So support for Reish Lakish, which is that min ha-Torah ma'os do not work, min ha-Torah, but rather Mashicha needs to be done. We saw that by the Pesukim in Parshas Vayikra, and we saw it by the Braisa regarding Me'ila. Okay, now with all that said, as I pointed out, that's a lot of precious real estate. Goodness gracious. So right, almost an amud, right? Mem chesam and aleph, almost the entire amud, a support to Reish Lakish. Where do we go from here? V'chein amar Rav Nachman dvar Torah ma'os konos. We go run right back to Rav Yochanan. Okay, whatever. It's a fair observation that despite the fact that the Gemara really endeavors to defend the position of Reish Lakish, Elu v'Elu, Divrei Elokim Chayim, both of them are expressions of a position. I know they don't agree. And what does that mean? It means that they're both right. What? Right? Elu v'Elu? So yeah, Elu v'Elu. Yeah, right? I know that's complicated. Right? It's whatever, it's complex. Okay, good. So Rav Nachman will tell you that Maus or Konos, meaning Rav Yochanan's position. Right? Now Levi's going over his Braisos. Levi had Braisos? Rashi says, yep, exactly. Right? In other words, we had first generation Amorayim. Right? Rabbi Oshia, Rabbi Chia, they're right on the border between Tanayim and Amorayim. And Levi is G1. First generation Amora. So he also was Masada Brisos. So Levi went through his Brisos, and what does he uncover? A Brisos supporting this idea. So, Bat Galevi Masisa Vashkach, Nasna Lesiton Ma'al. So what do? You go to your wholesaler. Meaning what you're looking to do is make a little business, a little geschäft. And so you go to the wholesaler, and what do you do is that you're going to buy a whole bunch of merchandise, and you're going to go, and you're going to turn, and you're going to sell it. Great. And you give them a little bit of money. Okay.
Just a little.
Right? You're not, right? Rashi's description over here is that you yourself are not in a great financial position.
Pocket change.
Yeah, okay, good. So and so you give them that loose change, but that loose change in your pocket happens to be Hektish coin. And right now, new your shlamazel as it is, you forgot. And you give it to him. So the Brisa, Levi's Brisa teaches us, it's at that point in time, you are moel behektesh. So now, what are you doing? You're purchasing metatolin. And you took a coin, and you gave it to him. And you're moel behektesh. Huh? In other words, moos karnos min ha-Torah. So el akashya l'reish lakish. So the Gemara says this. Now we turn to the Amud Beis. So this makes it difficult for Reish Lakish. The Gemara says, Ella, Amlecha Reish Lakish, Amani Rebbe Shemani. So Reish Lakish will tell you, I'm going to go back to what we said now 30 minutes earlier. Okay. Whether my timing is accurate or not, the careful listener will see. But we said this 30 minutes earlier, and that is that even Reish Lakish acknowledges, not everyone's on board with his position. Meaning Reish Lakish told you, that's the machlokis in our Mishnah between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon. So good, so you're showing me a brisa that says Amos Konos, Mazel Tov. That's Rabbi Shimon. I'm not saying Rabbi Shimon, I'm saying according to the Tanakam. Good. Let's go one more stop in today's daf. Aval Amra Mishapara. Okay, so we just ended, sorry, let's put a bookend now. We just ended one of the most classic discussions here in the fourth parak of Bava Metzia. And that is whether or not Moos Konos. So according to Rav Yochanan, Moos Konos min HaTorah, in a transaction between buyer and seller, what did the rabbis do? They legislated. Why? Protecting the buyer. And again, Rav Chista, we touched on Rav Chista a little bit in this discussion. Rav Chista says, really, it's a dual protection. It protects buyer and it protects seller as well. Whether or not everyone subscribes to Rav Chista, open for a debate. But anyway, that is Rav Yochanan's position, Moos Konos. And Reish Lakish will tell you is that no, that's incorrect. Reish Lakish will tell you that min ha-Torah maus are not kone. Mashiach is kone, but not maus. And we just went through a full blot of Gemara. Yesterday's daf, mem zayin amud beis. Today's daf, mem chesed amud aleph, even touching mem chesed amud beis. And the Gemara litigates which of those positions is a more defensible position. Amru aval amru mishapara. Now we're up to the klala, and that's retraction. Itmar by amar oduya modiyale. And rav amar melet laitinale. Now how exactly does this curse work? Are we informing him of the curse, or are we actually cursing him? Machlokes Amoraim. So Abai Amar Adu'im Le'idichsiv Nasib Amchalo Sa'or. Now Abai's position is that you don't curse him. You don't curse another Jew. Either is a curse. You notify him. You should know there is a curse. But you're not actually cursing him. And Rav Amar Le'itina Le'i. And Rav says, no, you're cursing him. Yes, of course there's a prohibition of the Torah that you're not allowed to curse your fellow Jew. That's when he comports himself and he's behaving correctly. Over here, he's not behaving correctly. In other words, he is lying. He told you he was going to buy it. He made a commitment. He even paid for it. And now he wants to back out. He's not behaving. For such an individual, there's no issue in the Torah of not cursing. Amar Rava Minaminalach. Rava says, "Look, let me share with you the following, and that is the Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef Yavale Zuza Milcha. So Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef made a purchase. He made a salt purchase. Lesofa Yakar Milcha. I'm sorry. He was on the selling side. Yeah, thank you. So he was on the selling side. So good. And now Lesofa Yakar Milcha." Now, after making the sale, now when I say making the sale, he accepted the money for the item. But then what happened was all of a sudden, the market of salt went crazy. And salt went up. And now he's thinking to himself, moral dilemma, right? I just made the sale, but he didn't take it. and I just accepted the money, and so why don't I just simply retract on the sale so that way I can turn around and make a lot more profit? Moral dilemma. So the Sofi Yakir Milcha also coming to Rav Yochanan Amarlei Zil Havlu Vilo Kabbal Alecha Mishapara. Ooh, and so he asked the Shaila. Beautiful. And Rabbi Yochanan says to him, yeah, here's what you're going to do. In other words, you made a commitment that you're going to sell it to him. Moreover, you even accepted the money. At that point, at this point in time, you got to keep your commitment. In other words, complete the sale. And if not, kabel alecha mishapara. And if you don't complete the sale at this point in time, you're subject to a curse. Now, here's the Gemara's analysis. Now, if all we're doing is just letting him know about it, in other words, who is the seller over here? The seller is Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef. You don't think he knows about this? Meaning, he's a Talmid Chacham. He knows the Mishnah and Bava Metzia. Who doesn't know the Mishnah and Bava Metzia? Meaning, a lot of people. But if you're a Talmid Chacham, the expectation is, of course, you know it. So Rabbi Yochanan has to remind him. So the Gemara says, Ve'elamai, Melet Laitinalei. So Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef Asal Kabule Ala Latusa de Rabbanan. So the and the Gemara says, and now what? So now what's the alternative? Well, we're not notifying him, we're actually cursing him. So the Gemara says, well, that's really strange. Meaning Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef now is going to Rabbi Yochanan only to accept a curse? That narrative is ridiculous. So Ella Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef a Ravun de Avile. Obviously, what's happening over here is something much more sophisticated. It's not a question of whether or not you're notifying him of the curse, you're actually cursing him. Both narratives are stupid. They're not correct narratives. So what's the correct narrative? The correct narrative over here is as follows. He didn't receive full payment. That's the correct narrative. And the Gemara says, so who savar kenegdu ukone, v'amalei Rabbi Yochanan kenegd kula ukone. And now we're talking. So now over here, what did he receive? He received a partial payment. And now what Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef wanted to know is, I received partial payment. So is that a down payment on all the salt? Or alternatively, no. The partial payment only represents a sale on whatever he paid for. But the rest of it, maybe. In other words, there was no sale on the rest of it. Is that, in other words, obviously it would be in his interest to look at it that way. Because now what he could do with whatever the balance is not, right? In other words, right, take it back. Well, he never gave it. But in other words, hold on to it and sell it at the now higher in price. And Rav Yochanan said, no, you agreed to sell all of it. And he gave you now a partial payment. That partial payment now is covering the entire sale. Obviously, he owes you on the balance. But in other words, that's going to complete the sale. And where we begin tomorrow is exactly this discussion, meaning a down payment. How does halacha view a down payment? Come back tomorrow.